Set your course for the Hoth system. General Veers, prepare your men.
All troops will debark for ground assault. Prepare to target the main generator.
Echo Station 3PA.
On an Imperial Walker.
Attack pattern Delta. Go now. Watch that clock fire, boys. Right now, I feel like I could take on the whole Empire myself.
Target, maximum firepower.
Imperial troops have entered the bay. Imperial troops have entered.
Hey everybody, welcome back to Echo Base. This episode number 123. I like that. Here, that's easy for me to remember that one. We're recording this on December 4th. We are just 10 days away from the release of The Last Jedi. I am just beyond excited. I can't think of anything else. I'm actively avoiding every TV spot I come across and trying to close my ears to everything on the internet so I don't get spoiled. But the last minute, I really want to go into this one without a lot of spoilers. So far, I'm pretty psyched about that. I am joined tonight by my two co-hosts, my trusty sidekicks, if you will. We have Eric. How are you tonight?
I'm doing okay.
Awesome, awesome. And we have Tim.
Yes, yes, you do.
Yes, you do.
He just can't play along nice with everybody else.
He's no, that's about different. As pleasant as he gets right there.
Yeah, okay.
What else do you want from me?
No,
you
no.
didn't ask me a question.
Wow.
You simply pointed out my existence.
Wow.
I responded appropriately. I acknowledged my existence.
Which your therapist says is the first step, right? So that's good.
Oh, boy.
Yes. And I have rum. So,
you know, there's always a lot of drinking going on. It does keep you warm. Alcohol is an antifreeze, so it does help you stay warm and moving, I suppose. But we're getting into that special holiday time here at Echo Base. You know, the lights are up now, the trees are up. I have my Death Star on the top of the tree, so I'm happy about that. I have to play with that. It's like my lightsaber that I have to play with occasionally. It's just, you know, you have to do that kind of thing.
Now, did you ever get that fixed?
You know, I talked to the girl at Hallmark at Celebration this year.
Right.
And we looked at one that was there, and it had the same issue that mine was going on with. And they said it was just the way they actually put the LEDs inside the globe. So they all actually operate the same way. And it's not really an issue, but I think it's one of those things where any bug, once documented, becomes a feature.
In other words, it's not yours. They're all broken.
Yeah, kind of.
Well, not a solution. Okay, never mind.
No, it doesn't totally detract. I still, you know, I'm still happy it's there. I mean, you guys can't, you know.
You just turn the part that doesn't work toward the back of the tree, right?
Yeah, and the funny thing is, when it lights up, when it's playing like it is now, there's no dark spot at all. It's just when it's in the passive mode. So.
Well, everybody knows that a passive Death Star is just no good.
That's right. You got to have an active one.
Yes.
And, you know, every time I play it and the main theme comes, I can't help but smile. My wife thinks I'm crazy.
Well, that's good. That's what the Death Star is all about. Making people smile.
Yeah. Absolutely. Okay.
Enough
when I think Death Star, I think smiles.
There you go.
Enough of
this tomfoolery, though. Oh, okay. Are you guys...
I have rum.
Oh, I do not. I have watered down Diet Coke and not even very much of it.
And I have just water. So... Hey, let's jump right into the news, because there hasn't been a ton of earth-shattering stuff coming out, because we have the movie, you know, 10 days away, but we have seen some stuff. There's
a movie?
Yeah, Jumanji.
Oh, excellent. I've been looking forward to that. That looks great.
There's a new one about the shrinking thing going on, too, isn't there? Is that one coming out?
Yes, Downsized.
Downsized, yeah.
Downsizing, one of the two.
Oh, boy. Anyway, I've been... kind of avoiding the cast being on many television shows recently. I mean, I think most of the cast was on...
They've been avoiding you, too. I noticed none of them have been on Echo Base. So, that's pretty fair.
I'm doing those shows without you guys.
Oh, okay.
No. So, a bunch of them run Jimmy Fallon. A lot of them run the morning shows recently. Have you guys caught any of these guest appearances? Have you? Have they been good? Have they been just talking about... all the spoilers and giving away all the details, or
they've been pretty lame, actually. And, well, I mean, it's one of those things where you can't expect them to give away much of anything. The main difference is when they did the press tours for The Force Awakens, they had some footage to show, And this time around, they're showing no new footage, which the hosts have pointed out, Jimmy Fallon, Jimmy Kimmel. Jimmy Kimmel had the entire cast on. Of course, he's on ABC. Not the entire cast, but he had Mark Hamill, Rian Johnson, Daisy Ridley, John Boyega, Adam Driver, Gwendolyn.
Christy.
Yeah. I dropped the first names. I'm sorry. Gwendolyn.
You're in the first name. That's okay. Yeah.
Yeah. Gwen, you know.
G-Dog.
Who am I forgetting? Oh, and new girl that plays Rose.
Oh, yep.
Yeah, she was on there too.
I had caught a couple of them. I caught Daisy Ridley's on one of the shows. She was pretty good. She's pretty entertaining. And then John Boyega, I actually expected him to be much more entertaining, and he has been in the past. But whatever show I caught him on, was just kind of off a bit, maybe, and really didn't seem to be all that engaged or entertaining. And they really didn't even talk about the Star Wars movie thing.
Is that the one where he was doing the dancing?
No.
Michael Jackson did? No. Okay, so, well, you see, you caught the wrong show.
Evidently. That seems very entertaining.
You got to keep in mind, though, when people do these things, actually
a musical.
They're doing the morning TV shows, they're doing the late night TV shows, they're doing radio interviews, they're doing other news show interviews. They're answering the same questions over and over again. My understanding is that it's exhausting.
Oh, yeah.
So someone was commenting somewhere on Daisy Ridley looking like she was just kind of like out of it. And yeah, I'm sure at some point she was.
Mm-hmm.
It's exhausting.
I bet they're all going to be very happy once opening night comes and it's out there, and then they can start talking about things and actually interacting in a different way than they have been for the last month.
Yeah.
Oh, sure. Yeah. I mean, a lot of this stuff, you have to imagine that they probably sit with publicists for quite a while. And here's the list of things you can talk about. You can't talk about anything else.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, I bet they're all wearing shock collars, and there's a guy sitting off camera with a button. If they get too close to a sensitive topic, they just zap them. You see, I mean, Daisy was on the morning show, and she kind of cocks her head to the side and says, oh, I'm sorry, okay.
Well, a lot of times the questions are all vetted in advance, too.
True. Yeah.
So they generally don't get a lot of surprise questions. So, Daisy Ridley was on a lot of them, and I guess that was good for me because it's Daisy Ridley. And I could watch her watch paint dry. Like, I don't care. She's awesome. So there was one that was interesting. Mark Hamill's always fun to listen to as well. But Andy Serkis, interestingly, it was one of the few that I didn't actually watch. But he was the only one that seemed to give any substantial information.
Right.
About the movie. I wouldn't call it spoilers necessarily, but he's the only one that seemed to be allowed to say very much.
Yeah, you know, I hadn't seen it, and I clicked on the link that you had in here a little bit reluctantly because I was like, I don't want any spoilers. But, you know, reading through the article here on Screen Rant about the stuff that Serkis gave away about Snoke is pretty innocuous. It's not really a problem. It's kind of what I had expected anyway. I mean, we talked about, you know, when the first movie came out that there was no Sith. And, you know, there's a lot of speculation about who Snoke is, and people thought maybe he was a old Sith Lord and this and that. But he's come out and said that, no, it's not anything to do with the Sith. And I think that it's a really good thing for the franchise to do, of not going back to the old well of, okay, it's Jedi versus Sith. It's going in a new direction entirely. And he makes it clear in this article, that they wanted to go in a different direction. They couldn't keep going back to the same well and rehashing the same things over and over again, which you know, fans got down on them from the last movie about, or just a, you know, was it a rehash of episode 4? And you know, we've all talked about this before, and I don't think it really is, but the more you can break away from those things.
We've got some listener feedback this week, though, that we'll get to later on that addresses that very issue.
Yeah.
But there's a quote in this article from Andy. Let's see if I can find it here. He says, Snoke is bloody dark, way darker than Palpatine. He's riddled with osteoporosis. Now, I wonder if he's got health care.
I don't know.
A little bit of osteoporosis. So his body is twisted like a corkscrew. He's incredibly damaged. So there's bizarre vulnerability about him. Beneath that vulnerability, though, this intense hatred. He's definitely not Sith, but he's certainly a darker end of the Force. Without giving too much away, that begins to unfold in this one a little bit. So they're telling you that we're getting new stuff, but they're not giving you everything. Mm-hmm. Which I'm really excited about. I want to learn more about who he is. I want to learn more about this new tangent in the Force, I guess you'd say, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I talk about a little shameless plug here, since if Tim's allowed to do it, I'm allowed to do it. our new Microcast series, which is Star Wars related. It's kind of like the Short Circuits Microcast, but for Star Wars stuff. I kind of talk a little bit about why it's important to me that they cover Snoke in episode 8. I think that of all of the different mysteries involved, this is probably one of the most important ones. But as I was putting that together, I found a couple of other articles too. And one of the things it said, now you said he's not a Sith. He is a Force user though.
Mm-hmm.
And then one of the things that Andy said, which is not in this article that you just read, Lou, but he said that he's more powerful than Palpatine or Vader. Now, the context of the question that was given to him and the context of his response, it doesn't make it clear whether he's talking about stronger in the Force or if it means more powerful as far as military assets or political assets or resources.
Okay. Yeah.
So it wasn't the implication seemed to mean the Force, but it really wasn't that clear. It could mean anything.
Mm-hmm. I agree with you, Eric, that I would like to see them, they don't have to completely pull the curtain back here on Snoke in The Last Jedi, but I would like to see a lot of stuff revealed and defined about him.
Yeah.
When you're looking at this as a trilogy, he was a mystery in the first film, and we had Kylo Ren is really the big adversary. Kylo is obviously going to continue on as a significant adversary, but we came to realize that while he has his own motivations, he's really a puppet. And I think for them to reveal the puppet master and some of the things about the motivations and the powers of the puppet master is really important. And that's going to set up the third film in the trilogy very well. And if we go along with the similar ebb and flow that we've seen in not only the previous Star Wars trilogies, but just you can look at any film in terms of first act, second act, third act, and a lot of films like this, in this second film is essentially the second act of the trilogy. That second act does get darker, it does get deeper, it sets up things so you're wondering, hey, how the hell are our heroes going to get through this? Things are looking really bad. So by the end of this movie, I'm expecting, and certainly I think from the trailers that we're seeing, this is a really, really dark movie. And I think they can do so much with Snoke in this. And actually, I don't even want to see any reveals of Snoke until kind of toward the second half of the movie. I want to see a lot of things develop around this, and then, hey, here's this reveal.
Mm. Everything for so long leading up to this movie has been all about Rey. Who's Rey's father? Where does she fit in? How is the training thing going to happen with Luke and all that kind of stuff? And I feel like they've kind of not talked about the elephant in the room of, okay, we had Kylo Ren and, the Knights of Ren, quote unquote. And where that happened, where his fall happened, what happened with him being trained by Luke and then leading to where he's ended up with Snoke. And I really want to know all that stuff. I mean, that to me is the juicier part of this whole story, because it is, the evil side of things. It's the darker part of the story. And I tend to gravitate towards dark stories. I think they're more intriguing. There's more peril. So of course everything feels on edge about how things are going to play out. And I'm excited to hear about this. And I think you're right, Tim. I mean, Kylo is a puppet. And we saw that from the first movie of him just being almost like a little kid. He was throwing a tantrum at times. And he wasn't really all that menacing. you know, even though he did, you know, kill Han Solo, but, you know, he wasn't all that menacing for most of the movie. And I think we're going to see more of the powers behind him showing themselves and in rearing that arc, the dark, ugly head they have.
Sure. Sure.
Let's see here. Eric, do you have anything you want to add to that? I mean, are you on the same page with us about?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I think that, you know, we've always said that heroes are only as interesting as their villains are powerful or as their villains are threatening. So I think that the more that they develop Snoke, the better off it's going to be for the story and for the heroes. And then additionally, separate from Snoke himself, I agree that I want to see the events that unfolded with Luke and with Kylo Ren and the Knights of Ren and that whole piece that we're missing that we saw flashbacks to. I'm really looking forward to seeing that.
Awesome. Now, you know, one thing we haven't talked about, and I'm going to spring this on you guys right here on the show. We're all seeing the movie Thursday evening, correct?
Yes.
I believe so.
Are we going to try to record something afterward? I mean, I'm sure we're all seeing it at different times.
After? But... I'm recording in the theater. What are you talking about? Waiting until after. My gosh.
You're looking on his phone, bright screen lit up in the front of the theater. Yeah.
Yeah.
If you guys want to have me included, yes, it would have to be that evening. The next day, I go under the knife for surgery, and I'll be drooling on myself for 2 or 3 days. So Thursday night would have to be... The time that I record.
Okay.
Well, keep in mind my screening of it is not at they start at 7 o'clock.
Yeah, mine's later.
Yeah, mine's later too.
So what are you guys doing?
Going to a good theater.
Yeah,
I'm going to the Alamo.
Seeing on a big screen.
Yeah, so I'm not doing the local showing? Mall Cineplex. I'm going to the Alamo, so that's, yeah.
Yeah,
I'll wait two hours in order to...
I think mine's at 10.
Are you going back to the theater we went to see The Force Awakens at?
No, different theater. Okay. Similar size screen, so it's a Cinemark XD screen, not the IMAX, okay. But it's their big screen and the big recliners. So.
Yeah.
Oh. Well, depending on what time I have to be at the surgical center on Friday, you guys might be on your own.
You know, let me give you a hint about that, Tim.
You can sleep through the whole surgery thing.
You don't have to be awake for the surgery. In fact, I recommend that you don't be awake.
You don't be awake.
That's my thing. I don't know.
And if you if you care about our fans, you know, you'll probably be, you know, able to record with us.
Wow.
If you don't, then we'll know where your loyalties lie.
Yeah.
Look, the fans know that I love them. It is through my low tolerance of bullshit that I love our fans.
And there's more stuff I gotta edit out of the show.
Moving right along. Yes.
Yeah. Keep in mind when you say that you want the show to be short, you can't blame me this time.
We'll blame Tim. Tim's drinking.
Good.
I drank. I am no longer drinking. I'm now to tea.
That's even worse. Okay. Did you guys hear that Denis Villeneuve is looking to?
No.
What?
Try again.
What?
Denis.
Try again.
Go ahead. He's French, dude. You got to pronounce his name with like.
Well, then pronounce his name for me.
Denis.
Is there a way to disconnect, Eric?
Just saying you don't insult the guy. This is the guy that directed Blade Runner 2049, okay?
Yeah, and I appreciate the movie.
Yeah, well, appreciate him to pronounce his name correctly. I'll give you a hint. The first name's Denis. You do the last name. Because I have no clue.
Oh, the same name as a couple famous racers, so it's Villeneuve.
Villeneuve?
As far as I know, yes.
Okay. Anyway.
Well, then, Eric, you take this one right along.
No, I did what I wanted to do. I was...
You just want to make me look bad. I see.
Yeah, okay, thanks. Fine. So, Mr. Denis, I'll call him Denis V for short. He's interested in directing one of the standalone Star Wars films.
Okay.
And Tim is not at all interested in having that happen, I guess.
Well, yeah, it's part of this whole thing of him not appreciating our fans.
I think it's the rum. I don't know. I think this would be a great idea. I don't know. You guys have both seen Blade Runner 2049, right?
Yep. He did an excellent job with that. I did not see Sicario, although I heard that was excellent.
So did I.
I don't think I've seen any of these films.
They're all, so he's done Sicario, Prisoners, Enemy, and Blade Runner 2049. Of those, I've only seen Blade Runner 2049. I own Sicario and still haven't watched it yet.
okay.
Well, I'm catching up on stuff, but they're all apparently brilliant films. They're all critically acclaimed. And just after having watched Blade Runner 2049, I would love to see him do a Star Wars film. I think his sense of art direction and the being able to do a big scale movie with a big vision for something.
Yep. Well, I mean, he's doing really a bunch of stuff now too. I mean, he's been considered for Bond 25. Yeah, I would have thought Tim would have known about that.
I did not know that.
Oh, now
suddenly I'm interested.
For those who can't see in video, he's sitting up more straightly.
He put
now.
His cup down. He's leaning towards the mic again.
Yeah.
He's working on a Dune project, I guess, too, which I haven't heard anything about.
And you know, I think he might be one of the best directors out there for Dune right now. I'm not a big Dune fan, but I think he could probably pull it off better than anyone else that comes to mind. So,
I mean, I think it'd be awesome. I'd love to see it. You know, and I think it's great that we're getting all this attention from these, I don't want to say younger, but, you know, newer directors coming to the screen that have done some fantastic stuff and bringing a whole new take on things. We're not going to get the same old in the Star Wars spinoff films.
Yeah. And that's what we want with the spinoff films. We want something that steps outside of the comfort zone, right? We want, we want comedy. We want heist films. We want drama. We want not just the space fantasy that we get with the saga. We want to use these as opportunities to stretch the boundaries and to experiment.
Yeah. Right. We can do all those kinds of movies in the galaxy we love.
Right.
I want to see Death Troopers done as a movie.
Okay. Tarantino, right?
Sure.
Ooh. Yeah,
that'd be
right?
Cool.
Death
Troopers. That'd be kind of cool. Hmm. I still haven't read that. I got to read that.
Yeah, me either.
Oh, it's great. It's a lot of fun. A lot of fun.
So, you know, we still haven't talked about From a Certain Point of View yet. And, you know, there are two new Star Wars books coming out this month.
Mm-hmm. True.
Yeah, one tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
And then one in the week before, I think, before the movie or after the movie?
What, the novelization?
I think before. Well, no, I wasn't even talking about the... And the novelization, I think, is coming out late.
Yeah, it is.
Like, late, okay. Late. No, this is the Canto Bight novel. Comes out tomorrow.
Canto Bight comes out tomorrow. Yep.
And we're recording this on Monday. So by the time this is posted, it will already be out. And then the other one is... oh, what squadron is it? Rose's Squadron.
Blue?
No, I want to say like Blade Squadron or...
Oh, okay.
Dagger Squadron or something. I'll... Yep. Oh, boy. Amazon.com wish list. I'll just go to Star Wars and we'll go to books. And it is, no, that's Canto Bight. Come on. It's going to make me scroll all the way through this. All right. Well, keep going. I'll get to it in a few minutes.
Oh, Cobalt Squadron.
Cobalt Squadron. That's it.
That's
there
the one.
There you go. Now, that one's, I think that one's a short one. The audiobook is only like 5 hours long.
Yeah, 6 hours long. The audiobook, it comes out on 12/15. So,
yeah.
Next week. Yeah, I got a tough thing tomorrow, but I'm doing either Canto Bight or I'm doing... the new Expanse novel.
The new one?
Yeah, like, it comes out tomorrow as well.
What?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
There's a new Expanse novel coming out tomorrow?
Persepolis Rising, I think it is.
Oh, great. And I just used my Amazon credit for that that new series that's coming to Netflix.
Yeah, Persepolis Rising comes out tomorrow. 20 hours and 34 minutes. It'll be on my phone on the way to
work.
Darn
it all to heck. Okay.
Sorry.
And I'm still finishing up the Daniel Suarez novel. You know, so we need to set aside some time to talk about From a Certain Point of View, because otherwise we've got all this pre-Last Jedi stuff, and then we're going to be talking about the movie for the next 2 months. And you guys just don't want to listen to me rant about this book. And that's
no, I
not
want to. I really do. I want to. But
yeah,
anyway.
I like the book. I enjoyed over half of the stories.
Yeah, I think I'm on the same page with Tim.
Well, I enjoyed over half of
every
the stories,
single story
too.
I didn't like, but, you know.
It's just that not all of them were stories. We'll get back to it later.
Okay,
let's go. Move along.
Nothing to see here, folks. Okay. Back to EA. We haven't talked about them in a week. their
short,
stock
though.
Has dropped a little bit from what it was by a value of $3.1 billion. That's not too much.
No.
What were they valued at? Do we know?
I have no idea.
Because that just seems like an awful lot for them to drop. I didn't
that
realize they were
worth
that much.
That does seem like an awful lot. But yeah, that's what the reports were. So.
Wow.
But you know, there was such a huge backlash. It doesn't necessarily surprise me. Lou, you were talking last week about the fact that people need to vote with their wallets. I mean, this is in a way, this
sounds,
is exactly
sounds
what
like
happened.
They are. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it's good. I mean, you know, I mean, I don't want to see EA, you know, tank and go out of business, but you know, I want them to learn from their mistakes. And if, you know, we all vote with our dollars and they get the idea that, oh, maybe this wasn't a good idea. We're losing billions of dollars in value of the company.
Right.
Maybe they will change that. I mean, after all, a company's in business for one thing, and that's to increase shareholder value.
Mm-hmm.
And they're not right at this moment.
Nope.
So.
Well, and hopefully the shareholders are going to spank them too.
Yeah.
And,
I'm sure
and
they will.
Start asking questions on the operations side of, you know, hey, what did you guys learn from this?
Right.
Because, you know, clearly there was a problem.
Yep. We'll see.
Okay. So, Eric, you said you saw a bunch of the stuff for Daisy Ridley. I'm going to let you take this next story because I did not see the quote or where she was quoted originally for this one.
Okay.
You know, a bit about Daisy being misquoted potentially for mm-hmm. her recurring response is Ray.
Yeah, I don't remember. Let me look at the website and see if I can ascertain where it was originally. I don't think it was originally at Screen Rant, but it may have been. She's been asked, I guess, several times about whether or not she wants to continue playing Ray. Okay, yeah. So the clarification was made to Screen Rant. That's what I've got there. It was stated that once we're done with episode 9, she's done playing Ray. She doesn't want to play Ray anymore after that. And I didn't remember if we talked about this last week on the show or not, but it's not all that uncommon for people to not want to get pigeonholed into a certain role. Once you get associated with such a prominent role like this, sometimes it can be really hard for actors or actresses to break out of that and have a career beyond just that one role.
I can respect that, but she's also been doing other things.
She has been
along the way.
She's smart.
Yeah. I mean, she's playing this right and her agent is playing this right to keep her in some very diverse roles and keeping her, you know, in the thoughts of people, not just playing the role of Ray. So,
right.
While I do understand kind of that typecasting issue, I'm not so sure that that's the most accurate speculation on this because she is diversifying.
But it is because she is taking steps to diversify that's going to keep her from ending up typecast, or at least that's the premise.
Yeah.
She's very smart to make sure that she's preparing herself for that because, I mean, mm-hmm. Star Wars was her first role. She's not a veteran actress or anything.
Right.
So this was
right.
a Rolling Stone interview. I'm reading directly from their article here. As far as Ridley is concerned, the future of Rey is pretty much set. She doesn't want to play the character after the next movie. Quote, no, she says flatly. For me, I didn't really know what I was signing on to. I hadn't read the script, but from what I could tell, it was really nice people involved. So I was just like, awesome. Now I think I'm even luckier than I knew to be part of something that feels so much like coming home now. So it was getting reported everywhere that she's like, no, after this, I'm done. However, she clarified to Screen Rant saying, the quote was misquoted. I was misquoted. I was asked By the way, at the end of a very long day, the end of a very long shoot, I was asked how I felt going forward. And I said, in my mind, the story finishes at episode 9. To me, Star Wars is in threes. Episodes 4, 5, 6, 1, 2, 3, 7, 8, 9. So for me, that's what I was signing on to, 7, 8, and 9. So that's really what I was asking. And I think for now, I'm not saying forever. So
that's fair.
That's fair. That's better. She's saying she's done for now. It's not that she's never coming back.
And I think also there should be some recognition. You know, this also isn't the first time that this has happened, particularly with very physical actors. Daniel Craig said practically the same thing after shooting the last Bond film. And he was on one of the late night shows and he was asked, hey, are you coming back? You know, we know your contract is up. And he said, absolutely not. And, you know, he had not too long before that particular interview, you know, had been running and beaten up and broken and blown up. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Daniel Craig is obviously, especially if you've seen any of the Bond films, the dude is an insanely physical actor. And Daisy Ridley is also very physical with Rey. I mean, they've even shown mm-hmm. some little snippets just in the last week or so of her training for the role and rehearsing some of these physical parts. And these things take a lot out of you. And I think, you know, there's a measure of physical exhaustion, which then kind of seeps into the brain a little bit where that there's kind of an automatic revulsion of, no, right. I'm not doing this anymore. Mm-hmm. And obviously we're seeing Daniel Craig coming back for Bond 25. Look, you guys opened up the James Bond door. So now I'm going to say it. and I think, you know, there's certainly, obviously we don't know how episode 9 is going to wrap up, particularly in terms of, the character of Rey, you know, hey, are we going to see more of her? Maybe yes, maybe no. Is it going to take, you know, another 30 years before we see her? Like we, you know, had the return of our main heroes from the original trilogy. But, you know, anything, I think anything can happen. And I think my first response to whoever posted this on Slack a few days ago was, does she like money? Right, and if right. the answer is yes, she will probably come back because this is a franchise that vomits money all over its stars. And if she likes money, and I don't mean to be so crass as to say that money is the sole motivator, because obviously it isn't. You have to enjoy what you're doing. But it's, I got to imagine, it's tough to turn down a Star Wars role, especially if you're a lead.
Yeah, I mean, even money aside, hard to turn down a Star Wars role for most people, to tell you the truth. But,
you know, yeah, I also do think it for that, free.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, yeah. You want me to pay you? Okay, sure, I'll be there.
Yeah, pretty much.
But, you know, the other thing about this is, too, you know, do we want to see more Rey? I mean, I'm hoping the story yes. of Rey is done at the end of these three movies. And I'm not saying I don't want to have more of the story, but, you know, I want different stories. I want, mm-hmm. you know, other stuff going on. I don't really want to drag out the whole Rey thing for another 9 movies like we're doing with the Skywalkers.
Okay,
like
but Thrawn here's something trilogy. To consider with that, because that is a really good point. But keep in mind, when we got the first trilogy, it was, what, 7 years? There was three years between each movie. So you had year one, you had episode 4. And then on year 4, you had episode 5. And on year 7, you had episode 6. So 7 years of real time. Then in the movie, there was a gap between, what are you shaking your head? Oh, okay. Yeah, you guys are playing around in your video cameras, which is awesome for the audio listeners out there. But yeah, we'll get back to the Jar Jar thing in a few minutes here. It's 7 years of real time for us, but then there's a gap in the storytelling. A New Hope, there's a gap between that and Empire Strikes Back, and there's a gap between that and Return mm-hmm. of the Jedi. We're looking at a movie every other year in real life, which is pretty quick. And then the opening shot of episode 8 is going to be the same as the closing shot of episode 7. So we're not really seeing as much of the story unless there's a big jump between 8 and 9. Mm-hmm. But keep in mind, it's not as big a span that we're getting this time. So we're not really seeing a whole lot of Rey over these three films. If you look back to the original trilogy with Luke as basically a teenager and then coming into his own as a full-blown Jedi at the end of Return of the Jedi. I mean, there was a big transition there. This is a lot more compact. I'd be okay seeing more.
I mean,
of
that
these
story
stories.
Was told over that amount of time, and it was meant to be. I mean, this one is meant to be told over a shorter period of time, evidently. I mean,
But that doesn't mean that it's not more stories to tell there.
Sure, sure. But I mean, we keep saying before we'd like to get some more diversity of this, and we had a story coming up later on in the episode about this. But you know, I really want to see them put this to bed and finalize this, and not be, you know, overly concerned about keeping these main characters on screen. And I know they've invested money in them and they want to, you know, get more money out of them. But I mean, I think you're investing money in the franchise and you want to continue with the franchise, not just you know, these three new characters we have.
But I guess what I'm saying is we just got them and people are already talking about getting rid of them. Like we just got them, a year ago.
Yeah, it's really difficult to speculate what's going to happen. I mean, certainly we have some concepts of what's going to happen in episode 8 here, but we really don't know what's going to happen in episode 9, especially with any of these characters. And yeah, I'm fine with characters hanging around and with them continuing to be used if it makes sense. I don't think that episode 9 is going to wrap up like Rogue One. I don't think everyone's going to die. I think there are going to be some potential future stories for a lot of these characters, whether it is done in film or it's done in books or in comics or TV, be it live action or animated, whatever the case may be. I think there's certainly a lot of room for that. And, I don't even know that necessarily Lucasfilm is looking at that right now. I mean, they're looking to wrap up this trilogy. They've got Solo on the horizon here. And, I think the only thing beyond that in the future is what potentially the next standalone could be after Solo. And they're talking about this, Rian Johnson trilogy, which, we're going to talk about in a little bit. But that it doesn't look like that's going to pick up after episode 9.
Well, Kathleen Kennedy has talked about the fact that they are going to have I forget the exact wording. The implication was that there will be more stories going forward containing, and she did specifically name drop Rey, Finn, and Poe.
Okay.
I think that with the news we're about to get to about Rian Johnson's new trilogy, it's probably not going to be there. So, Tim, I think you're probably correct. It would be in the spinoff films. But I think they are thinking about that. I mean, they say they've got the next 10 years of Star Wars content mapped out already.
Good.
So, I mean, obviously that includes this trilogy. Of course, that was even stated before this trilogy was announced. Mm-hmm. They've got the Kenobi spinoff film that we're inevitably getting, or we hope. We've got the Boba Fett spinoff film that we better be getting. So there's already content that's been speculated for over the next 10 years.
Folks, we all know that speculation on Eric's part that there, you didn't miss some grand announcement.
What?
For as much as I would love to see a Boba Fett film, that has not been announced. So
because they had to fire the director.
See, I don't think we need a Boba Fett film.
Stop. That's enough from you. And put Thrawn away, because we're going to talk about Thrawn here shortly.
We can move along now if you want. I'm just saying.
I was just told to be quiet.
Got 10 years mapped out. She said there's going to be more of the current characters, and that's good. So we'll get them one way or the other. I'm not in such a hurry. We wanted more out of Star Wars, and we got more out of Star Wars, and I'm not willing to throw that out just to get more. I mean, we just got this new stuff. I'd like to enjoy it. It doesn't have to be theatrically. That's fine. And I do hope, and I believe that they will wrap up this story in episode 9 with a bookend, with an end to the story. And that's great.
Mm-hmm.
But
that's what I want. Yeah. I mean, if they continue other Rey stories and stuff in books, I'm fine with that. I just don't think we need to continue down that path with movies all the time.
No, I agree with that.
We can do something totally different in movies and still get stories about them in and amongst what we've already got, which I think is great, but we just don't need more movies. Let's do something new and visually different on screen. Speaking of what we're going to get on screen, you like that transition? Was that good? I know when you pointed out it doesn't mean as much. I'm sorry. we're starting to see some posters for Solo coming up in theaters.
Yes.
It's
not like it's a poster for the movie. It's a teaser poster where it's just a black background with the word Solo in May 25th. But, you know, that does bode well that we're going to be getting more content soon.
Yes. It is not about the poster. It is about the poster signifying the beginning of the marketing push.
Right. Right.
Yes. And generally, if theaters have movie posters, theaters generally also have trailers.
So do you think we might get a trailer for this in front of The Last Jedi?
I see all the reasons why we wouldn't, and there have been very many vocal conversations about that in our Slack community, but I think we will. I stand by the fact that while I understand that, you know, oh, it's a distraction and they want to focus on marketing The Last Jedi right now and focusing just exclusively on that, I get it. If you attach it to The Last Jedi, you've already sold the tickets for The Last Jedi, so it's not like you don't want those people to be distracted because they already bought the ticket and they're already sitting there for the next 2.5, what would have been over 3 hours, apparently, according to Rian Johnson.
And this is a May release, right?
Yes. And this is about the time that you'd start ramping up.
Yeah, especially for a major franchise movie like this. Why not put one out there?
But, you know, the one thing that you're kind of missing about this whole thing is you're going to spend money to market the movie to the audience that's already going to go see it.
You're going to get them hyped up.
Yeah, but they're going to get hyped up anyway. You don't need to hype them up anymore for that. I mean,
but also keep in mind that, and like we talked about before, and you guys have talked about for a long time before I ever came on the show, was the need to be really pitching Star Wars content to a mainstream audience. They don't need to pitch it to us because we're going to go see it anyway. Assuming that they're going to get mainstream audience into The Last Jedi, and I'm pretty darn sure they will. Hey, let's market the next Star Wars movie that's going to come out there. I think you've got rooms filled with people who have this interest. Why not market it to them?
I mean, I see both reasons. I really do, except I just don't think that, you know, if you're going to put your money where your mouth is and really try to market this to people that you're trying to get in those seats that wouldn't be in those seats otherwise, you're not going to show it in front of The Last Jedi. Because those people are almost a guaranteed audience for yourself.
But what are you going to show it in front of? They don't have any other big movies coming out for a while now until probably Black Panther, and you don't want to wait that long. And you don't want to put it in front of somebody else's movie and give people reason to go see your competition's film. So the only other real alternative would be the Super Bowl, which is something people are talking about.
Or Nutjob 3.
But they throw trailers in front of competitive movies all the time.
But not, they do, but there's a difference. A Star Wars trailer is an event is a destination.
Will draw people, you're right.
I went to see Meet Joe Black for the Phantom Menace trailer.
Which was an awesome movie.
Yeah, Brad Pitt gets hit by a bus like 5 minutes in, and then you can get up and leave.
I love that movie.
But seriously, they even said, listen, at the end of the movie, we're going to show the trailer again. And still, after the first showing of the trailer, before the actual film started, at least a third, if not half, of the audience got up and left the theater and didn't stick around for the movie. A Star Wars trailer is a special thing. People will go to see a movie to see the Star Wars trailer. Now, it's a little bit different today, but we, you know, with the internet and all that kind of stuff, I just think that if you're going to do it at some sort of an event sort of thing and not just, you know, boom, hey, here it is on YouTube, you have limited options. There aren't a lot of tentpole movies that get released in the winter. You've got The Last Jedi, you've got the Super Bowl, and then you've got Too Late. Anything after the Super Bowl is too late.
True, because you're already into February.
Right.
for a May movie, and it's a major franchise film. I while I do understand the arguments against putting a trailer or at least a teaser of sorts into this, I have to agree with Eric. I think the timing of this is perfect. I think there are a few other choices to really push this with. And I, you know, this is your target audience. Why not show it to your target audience?
I mean, ideally, I think the Super Bowl for Lou, for what you're talking about, as far as making an impact on the biggest demographic that you can, I think the Super Bowl would be wise. I'm just saying that if it's in a theater, you're running out of time, and The Last Jedi is one of your last options. If it's not in a theater, you either make an event on your own out of it, but then you're kind of distracting from The Last Jedi, or you do it with the Super Bowl.
Right.
Sure.
If it would have been 3 months ago, I would have said no, but right now we're running out of time.
Yeah. There's no cons. There's nothing. Right. There's nothing other than this that can compel them to do a release like that. So
right.
I it makes sense to me. If they don't show it there, I would be surprised, and I would be left scratching my bald head wondering when are they going to do this.
Yeah. If we don't see it by the Super Bowl, I will be completely confused.
Yeah. True. True. Okay, let's see here. So now the big news that we've been kind of dancing around all episode is this news of Rian Johnson getting the next trilogy or a trilogy attached to Star Wars.
The Thrawn trilogy.
And where he's going to go with this. So this was on Screen Rant, I believe. Rian has said that, you know, this movie is not going to be at all connected to the current Star Wars that we're having in theaters now.
Yeah.
Is this good? Is this bad? Is this, I mean, I think it's good. I mean, fantastic. I'm looking forward to something totally new and different. Well, what are your guys' takes on this?
I'm okay either way. I mean, again, I'm okay seeing more of the saga chronology. It doesn't have to be Rey, Finn, and Poe. I just want to see the story move forward. I don't want to bounce all over the place. Like with the novels right now, it's driving me nuts. I used to know that we had, back in the expanded universe or Legends, we had forward moving storylines. And every now and then we get a side story here or there. And even with the prequels, it was basically they went in order. And now since the reboot, things have just been bouncing all over the timeline, all scattered, and it's annoying. I'd like to see an ongoing story. That being said, if we're not going to do the saga, I like the fact that he's talking about the fact that this is going to be in a part of the galaxy we've never seen.
Mm-hmm.
And Thrawn. Some people, you know, the way he worded it earlier, it was, I don't want to say it was ambiguous, but it could have been taken a few different ways. And the nice thing about this interview with Screen Rant is he makes it very clear. He's very, very clear saying it will not be connected to the current Star Wars saga, quote, at all. No characters, no locations, no nothing. So therefore, and I know they're going to have some other type of name for the trilogy, but we are all going to refer to it as the Thrawn trilogy, you know, just anecdotally. I'm sure they'll have some kind of official title. But yeah, now we can go into the unknown regions. We can see what's going on out there. It can still be tied to the overall arc of what's going on if they wanted to do that. And yet it would be all new characters other than Thrawn and Ahsoka at all. But yeah, I mean, this is great.
It just makes me very happy. It makes me, for as initially ridiculous I thought the idea was when I first said it, I'm getting more and more excited about it. So I'm totally down with it. And again, I cannot confirm or deny that Lucasfilm has called me to discuss this.
Tim.
Now, once they announce that it'll actually be all about the origins of the galaxy from which the Ewoks originally came.
Oh.
Tim will be crushed.
I was going to say, what are you guys going to do when this comes out and it's not about Thrawn?
make it about Thrawn?
I don't even have to answer that because I know to the core of my being that this is going to be about Thrawn.
I wish I had your confidence. I mean, I would love it if it was about Thrawn, but we don't know that.
You don't know that.
I think Tim
and I are pretty well. I think we know.
I mean, yeah. I even told them if I had a conversation with Lucasfilm, I might have told them that I would have been cool with not being top billed on the writer's credit. I just. Just saying, you know.
You know, guys, there is such a term as groupthink. You guys are willing yourself into this, and you just, you know, one person reinforcing the other's ideas, and it's snowballing. Yeah,
no, you're right. I think the group thinks that it'll be the Thrawn trilogy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I like Liz's new hair, I am pro blue.
There you go.
Or, well, her hair is teal, but close enough.
Close enough.
Teal, yeah. Mm. I don't know. So, was there any dates in there as to when we're going to start seeing these things hit the cinema?
I mean, not even 2025? Almost. The way this whole thing came about was they apparently everybody loved working with one another on episode 8. Everyone being the higher ups, and they were talking about the fact, you know, we need to come up with another project that we can do together so that we can all get back together and work again. And Rian Johnson said, well, yeah, just like give me another trilogy that happens somewhere else that has nothing to do with all this other stuff you're doing. They said, okay. He's like, really? And they're like, yeah, go for it. So, I mean, it was a little more complicated than that, but that's apparently the gist of the story. So I don't think they have, first of all, I don't think he has decided what he's doing yet. And on top of that, no, they haven't done anything to get the ball rolling even so much as a general schedule, I don't think. But I mean, right now we've got, so this is 2017, 2018, we've got Solo, 2019, we've got episode 9. In theory, yeah. 2020, we're going to have some other spinoff. So we're looking at least 2021 just by default.
Oh, these dates seem so far away. you know, I just want to have one of those, you know, screens leak out that you've seen for like the Marvel stuff where they show, you know, the next, you know, 20 movies on a timeline.
Yeah.
I want one of those to sneak out so we can kind of see that and just see what they're planning. I mean, I don't even know, just, I want to know just, generals, you know, what's going on? Where are we going with this? Where is this happening? They're not being very cooperative.
Yeah, I don't care about the generals. I think Thrawn was, what, a grand admiral?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't care about the generals. But thanks, Lou.
And, I mean, clearly he would have to be promoted to that rank. Because I don't think in Rebels he's yet grand admiral, is he? I think he's just admiral, right?
I think he's admiral, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I'd give him, if I were Palpatine, I would.
See, I think you just assume that role, and then Palpatine disavows any knowledge of his actions and says, you know. Come on. You know, you guys know I love Thrawn as much as you guys do. Come on. I'm just playing
it's
difficult
okay.
Here.
You also didn't think The Force Awakens was going to make more than, what, $110 million its opening weekend?
He said like $5 or something like that.
Yeah, it was pretty low.
$3.50.
I was talking about Rogue One.
Oh, that was the $5 one.
You guys can't even get the movie right. Oh, boy. Let's see. Eric, I'm going to let you take the listener. Wait. Before we get there, we got to put Tim on the spot. I almost forgot.
We have trivia.
Tim, it's your trivia night.
It is. It is absolutely trivia night.
Entertain us with your trivia.
So, guys, who was... You remember Return of the Jedi. We're on Endor. Our heroes are making their way through the Forest Moon. And Chewie sees a little, you know, bit of meat from something. I don't know what it was. Looked like a rabbit, but... I don't know. There's rabbits on Endor.
Tastes like chicken.
And, you know, Chewie was hungry, so he grabbed a hold of the whatever dead critter it was, and whoomph, they go up in their net. Who was the head of the hunting party of the Ewoks that captured our heroes? What was the name of the Ewok?
Eric is so much better with names than I am. I'm going to defer to Eric.
Oh. Eric is crazy good with names.
He is.
I don't know that many of the Ewoks. I know Chief Chirpa. I know Logray.
Not Logray.
Who was the shaman. No, they were back in the village. I know... I thought there was Tebow.
Yeah. He played for what, the Jets?
Ha ha. See, I knew that was coming. No, he's also another little bit of trivia for you. He's the one that died. Remember the other Ewok went to grab him and help him up to walk away and then realized he wasn't going with him and then sat down. Yeah, that was Tebow. I'm probably going to have to say him because I don't remember the names of any of the other Ewoks.
Yub, yub. It was in fact Tebow.
Ha ha ha!
Very nice.
All right.
Very nice. Very nice.
So, yes, indeed, a little bit of Ewok trivia for you on this fine evening. Let's see, a little behind the scenes here looking at Wikipedia. Tebow is played in Star Wars Return of the Jedi by Jack Purvis. Although not named in dialogue, Tebow was named in the movie's credits. And he was one of Chief Chirpa's best hunters.
Was.
Until an AT-ST kind of, you know, kaboomed him. Rest in peace, Tebow. Brave warrior. We should have a memorial episode
for of Tebow?
Echo Base just for Tebow.
Just for Tebow? I thought you were going to say all the Ewoks that died.
No. Just for Tebow.
Oh, you don't care about the rest of them.
Ewoks have died to bring us this information. You know.
I don't remember that line.
I could. Let me see if I can find it in our Slack community. We've got kind of a trivia thing that's been discussed in our Slack Star Wars channels. I don't know if you guys are caught up or not.
Do you
guys know what John Lithgow's connection to Star Wars is?
Oh, gosh.
Ooh, I don't know.
No Googling.
Here. Now, you're saying like he was in the movie or like this, like a seven degrees of separation thing?
No. I'm saying that he, in an official capacity, actually portrayed a character for Star Wars.
Hmm. An Imperial officer?
Nope.
No. John Lithgow. I don't know.
We're talking original trilogy or prequel trilogy?
Original trilogy.
Wow.
Huh. Hmm. Somebody missed a Slack conversation.
Yeah, I definitely did. Do I get a hint?
Yes. He did voice work. He did not actually appear himself.
Okay.
Like there was no physical appearance.
Hmm.
No, I am at a loss.
Tim, anything?
No. And I thought I was caught up on all the Slack discussion, so I must have missed this one.
And I'm trying to find in Slack where it was so that I could see if I could give credit to who actually started talking about it, and I'm not finding it.
Hmm.
Oh, well. He was, you remember the radio dramas?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, yep. He did the voice for Yoda.
Aha. Uh-huh. Okay.
Really?
John Lithgow. Okay. Yep. Never actually listened to anything beyond the first one, but I think it might have been Mike Clark that brought it up. But yeah, I've heard audio clips of it, and he does a phenomenal job.
That's pretty cool. I can't picture really him doing that.
Yeah. So there you go.
Very cool.
Awesome. Thank you.
See, and this is why more people need to join our Slack channel, our Slack community. Yeah. There's all kinds of channels within it and participate. There's lots of good stuff there.
I need to get more time to be more active in that because I just have not. I used to have a job where I could play on the internet like that during the day, and I just don't anymore.
Yeah, that does make it tough.
It makes it tough, but.
Yeah.
Okay, so Eric, I'm going to throw the listener feedback over to you. I know you put this in here, and
okay,
probably you just take this away about from Josh.
All right, yeah. Let me get a little closer to my screen here and read the fine print. This one's a little bit long, but yeah, this is from Josh. He says, "Hey, Echo Base.
Hey.
I know that this has been beaten to a pulp already, but I just wanted to chime in on the TFA issue of homage or carbon copy. In my opinion, for the casual and hardcore fans, the issue is simply that these things are too on the nose. There's no subtle poetry between A New Hope and The Force Awakens as there was between The Phantom Menace and A New Hope. Just look at the following list. Hero living on a desert planet, Luke and Rey. Secret information hidden in a droid, R2 and BB-8. Daring escape after pursuit by hostile forces, Tatooine escape from Imperial forces, and Jakku escape from First Order forces. Super weapon with similar capabilities in weapon testing. I don't even want to touch the. I'm still pissed about the Starkiller base. don't even get me started. Josh, I'm in full agreement with you on that one. Campbell's threshold crossing, the Mos Eisley Cantina, and Maz Kanata's castle, referring to John Campbell's Hero of a Thousand Faces and story archetypes and mythology and such. What the heck word is this, Josh? Dude, I have like a fourth grade reading level, so bear with you.
Eucatastrophic.
Eucatastrophic. What the hell does that mean? Never mind. Eucatastrophic rescue by a fighter pilot.
It basically, on the brink of catastrophe.
Okay. Poe and Black Squadron save Han, Finn, and Chewie from First Order capture. I want to come back to that one. Infiltration into hostile forces, or fortress. To rescue ally and secure means of victory. The rescue of Leia versus the rescue of Rey. Assault on fortress and trench run. Battle of Yavin 4. Battle of Starkiller Base. Mm-hmm. Death of a mentor. Obi-Wan's death. Han's death. I'm not here to say that TFA is a carbon copy of A New Hope, because it does many unique things, as Eric mentioned, and progresses in its own manner. However, you can't deny that what is replicated from earlier material is very apparent. In The Phantom Menace, it is illusion and foreshadowing. In A New Hope, it's repetition and cadence. In The Force Awakens, it is imitation and completion. Hope you guys enjoyed the email, and I'm interested in hearing your thoughts. I've got two things real quick. First of all, death of a mentor. Han wasn't really a mentor, though I kind of get where he's going with that. But even to Rey, Han was more of a chauffeur. Like he didn't really fill.
He was almost a father figure, not really a mentor.
Yeah. It's and not as then, strong as the Obi-Wan issue, but it's
right.
I mean, I think there. You guys can acknowledge a very similar story path.
Yeah. But when you're looking at, it's not John Campbell, is it? It's Joseph Campbell. When you're looking at the standard for mythology and such, you've got the old wizard, which in the original trilogy would have been Obi-Wan Kenobi. And he's, you know, taking the young student who doesn't really have a place in the world. And then the old wizard dies. And then this new person rises up to kind of, to take on that quest in that role. With Han Solo's death, you don't really have, he's not in a mentor position. There's nobody there to really take on his role unless you want to say that now Rey's flying the Falcon, but heck, she was flying the Falcon before Han Solo appeared in the film. So I think I get what he's saying, but that kind of breaks down a little bit for me. And then the other one, Han saving Luke at the last minute to help him destroy the Death Star, I think is a little bit different from Poe and the Black Squadron saving Han and Finn and Chewie. Han and Finn and Chewie went down to get Rey and to knock out the shields and stuff. They, in effect, saved Black Squadron.
Hmm.
Right? It wasn't until they blew that stuff up that Black Squadron was able to succeed. So it was the opposite.
Yeah, you're right. That one doesn't hold water for me like the other ones do in this, you know, list. But
it's nitpicking, I know.
It is. And I see what he means, but also, see, I never felt cheated by TFA and the things they reused and the things they did. I didn't feel like it was that big of a deal. I mean, right. Yeah, we have some mirroring. We have some stuff that's a outright copy of. I mean, you know, the first couple right there. I mean, you know, living on a desert planet. Yeah, okay. Secret information in a droid. Yeah, okay. I get it. A daring escape from hostile forces. Yeah, okay. Yeah, but you know what? If it was done in a different, desert planet versus something other planet, you could do that. Fine, they didn't. You could hide the information in a droid, or you could hide it in a pad or some other kind of computer they keep. It would be the same kind of a thing, but it wouldn't be a droid. So maybe that is a bit of a copy, but. I mean, these are all things that a lot of movies have. It's not like these are all brand new concepts, and Star Wars was the only one that ever used them.
But I can see Josh's point where some of them are very specific. I mean, desert planet, desert planet.
Yeah, yep.
MacGuffin in a droid. Because really, it's not just that there's some hidden information there. This is what they're chasing. It's what Vader was chasing in A New Hope. It's what Kylo Ren was chasing in The Force Awakens. It's the MacGuffin. Yeah, I get it. But like you said, Lou, you didn't feel cheated. And to me, that's the word that kind of defines how I feel about this. And I know some people did feel cheated, and I can accept that. But I didn't feel that it was so on the nose that it felt like it was a cheat.
I'm still wondering why you're saying that Chris is a droid. was Chris actually 3PO?
What?
You were talking about the MacGuffin in a droid.
Oh, no, Chris was in the droid, not that Chris was the droid.
I don't think that Josh was pointing out these things being analogous in any kind of a negative manner. I mean, he's not expressing that. He feels that he was cheated by this or anything. And maybe he is, and he just simply didn't express it in his email to us. But I really can't disagree with the things that he points out. And I've never disagreed with the premise of what folks have said in terms of The Force Awakens being so analogous to A New Hope. To the folks who do say that, hey, look, it's copy and paste. Well, no, it's not. There are a lot of similarities. There are a lot of story beats, but it still is its own story. Probably the biggest thing we could have done without was Starkiller Base.
Yes.
That's one of the things about the movie that really ticks me off.
And they even had to have a moment to sit down. Oh, this was the Death Star. This is like they had to explain it to you with visuals. I was expecting them to break out the crayons at some point to dumb it down for us even more.
Yeah.
That's the only thing in this movie that really kind of struck a chord with me that was like, yeah, okay, why'd you do that?
Yeah.
But Tim, I'm not saying that Josh feels this way, but I mean, when you use the words carbon copy, to me that is, you know, a copy is a negative term. as opposed to homage, which is not, you know, I mean, people that think it's a carbon copy, I take offense to that kind of type thing because I don't feel it was, and I feel it was a good movie on its own. Mm-hmm.
So to be clear about what Josh is saying, first of all, he's talking about the issue of quote homage or carbon copy. So he's not calling it a carbon copy himself. He's saying that, it's one or the other. And then he's saying, in my opinion, for the casual and hardcore fans, the issue is simply that things are too on the nose. So I think he's saying more that from what I've seen of Josh in Slack, I'm not saying that he himself feels this way.
Yeah. I think this is an observation.
Trying to express. Yeah. He's trying to observe how other people could see that this is a thing. And listen, between Starkiller Base and the desert planet alone, those two things, so much happened on Jakku. And then the whole super weapon, again, just having a super mm-hmm. weapon at all, and then right. it being Starkiller Base, basically the Death Star 3.0. I get it. Like, those hurt. Those were a bit much.
I mean, to me, and maybe it depends on, you know, like breaking things down through this list, but kind of watching the movie, there are things that kind of waffle back and forth between the homage versus the carbon copy thing, because some of it is just so direct. Others, yeah, okay, we're kind of reflecting back onto something that happened in A New Hope, but this is still its own story. That said, I mean, The Force Awakens is not amongst my favorite Star Wars films. I think it has some great moments. I think it has some great effects. I'm excited to see where this story is going to go. But as a movie on its own, it is not amongst my favorites.
Hmm. See, I rank it as one of my higher ones, but I think that on the topic of this, I think a lot of it depends on, yes, there are some things that are similar or just directly, I hesitate to say carbon copy, but there are things that are basically exactly duplicates. But then there are so many things that are very different. We don't have a damsel in distress. We have not only a female lead character, but then when she does get captured, she breaks herself out.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
We don't have a whiny child who then kind of starts to come into adulthood. Rey, I don't think was ever whiny and certainly not as childish as Luke was when he was in A New Hope. And Finn would kind of fit the sidebar character like Han Solo would have. But he's not really a scoundrel. He's not a smuggler. He's already a hero just by leaving the First Order. So yeah, he's on the run. Yeah, he's wanted. So he's your criminal character, but he's good. He's like, it's not quite the same. When you get into the characterizations, there's a lot of things that are so different from A New Hope. The political situation is a little bit different. I don't know. I think that there's enough there that is fresh that it compensates for some of the minor complaints about the stuff that's identical. I think the only things that really stand out, again, the desert planet and Starkiller Base are really the big two. But other things like Assault on a Fortress. How many movies have assaults on fortresses?
Quite a few.
Like, pretty common theme.
Everything. I think the Smurf movie had an assault on a fortress. Like, I mean, so I don't know. But I guess I get what Josh is saying. And I think that these are, for the most part, some good examples. And I can see why it bugs some people. I think that there are so much that's different. And I think that people are focusing too much on the things that are similar that they're not willing to open their eyes to the bigger picture.
Yeah, one last thing to add to this. The other thing that really kind of irks me, and kind of this is my equivalent to what you were worried about the desert planet thing, Eric, because that didn't bother me as much because that seems to be a pretty common theme in space, is, you know, planets that are fairly arid. But the cantina scene in Maz's castle, those struck me as being, well, I shouldn't say it. Maz's castle struck me as being a poor copy or a poor ripoff of what the cantina scene was. It seemed like they put it in there just to really mimic that cantina scene.
And they could have done it better.
Yeah.
They could have done it so much better. The cantina scene
was good in its own right, kind of the first of its kind, but to do the castle scene the way they did it and have it almost a throwaway scene, you could have done away with most of that scene.
I don't know. The only thing that bothered me about that scene was the fact that all of the aliens were new, and it felt like we're watching an entirely different franchise. Like, I would have liked to have seen some Ithorians.
Somebody, there, yeah.
Or some, it would have been,
that would have made it better, in my opinion, too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But
I get what you're saying. I guess it just didn't bother me.
It feels like it was just a blatant, hey, we're going to do this because we can. You know, it was like, meh.
Yeah.
Well, but in their defense, if you were writing or directing a Star Wars film, especially if there was a gap, one hadn't been out for a while, I think that most certainly, at least amongst the three of us, one of us would have said, hey, we need to do some kind of like cantina like scene, because that's iconic and it draws people in and we all loved it as kids. And that's a thing we should do. Wouldn't it be cool? And guaranteed we all would sit there and nod our heads and say, hey, yeah, we should do that. So I give them props for doing it. And I understand why they did it. It just didn't come across, at least to me, as well as it could have. I think they could have made it grander. I agree, like, with what Eric said. While it's great that they had all new alien species, throw in a couple of them that we know. You know, make right. that connection and still keep it familiar. And that's, you know, that's one of those things that I want to see. And as we've been talking through the last several months about possibilities of other things happening in Star Wars, whether it's new movies that aren't related to the trilogy, standalone films, TV series, whatever, it still has to look and feel like Star Wars.
Right.
And that's an important thing. That's that important connection. Now, if you make another Death Star, I'm out.
Yeah, I'm really
that's not a connection that I really want or need in my life. But yeah, I mean, you still have to have those things that give us that. And yes, a lot of The Force Awakens gave us that, because they gave us kind of the next evolution of a lot of things that we were familiar with, the stormtrooper armor and ships and all that kind of stuff. But that scene in Maz's castle, I think could have been just made a little bit better. But I get what they were trying to do.
I thought it was an improvement in over the canteen, in the sense that it wasn't so dark you couldn't see things.
True.
It was bigger. The people there were participating more like it was the type of place that smugglers would go and hang out and pick up new jobs and stuff like that, as opposed to a ratty little hole in the wall bar that nobody really wanted to be at in the first place. Like, it to me, if you're going to portray smugglers and mercenaries for hire and things like that, well, you have to have a watering hole for them to go and and congregate at. So the cantina in general, that concept makes sense. And I thought that this was a better representation of that than the representation we saw in A New Hope, though granted that was 1977. They did the best they could.
Sure.
But didn't bother me that much.
I think a part of the cantina scene from A New Hope was kind of that charm of it, of the puppets and the just really how kind of low tech that it was. And I think that's part of it. And it was also this glance at, wow, the possibilities of this galaxy with all these different aliens that we're only a half an hour into this movie in, and suddenly they just blew our mind with all this stuff. Well, in The Force Awakens, there was a big challenge because you had to blow our mind. And we've already seen a whole lot of Star Wars. So,
yeah. By the way, real quick, the John Lithgow thing, I think, was first brought up by, I don't want to say his last name because I don't have his permission, but Michael in Slack.
Gotcha.
Not Mike, and not Mike, and not Mike, but Michael. That is an important distinction.
Yes.
Very good.
And Josh, thanks for writing in with this. I mean, this is...
Yes. Thank you, Josh.
This is a hot button topic for a lot of people. And even people who want to like... There are some people who don't like The Force Awakens, but wanted to. It's not that they're against it. They couldn't get past some of these issues. And I can understand that. So thanks for writing in.
Yeah.
Okay, well, I think that brings us to the end of this episode. We're going to be closing up the blast doors here, unless you guys have anything else you want to discuss.
If something came in right at the last minute before we started recording, it's not really discussion worthy, but I'll mention it. In an interview that I guess went up earlier today, Rian Johnson pointed out that the original cut for The Last Jedi was going to be over 3 hours long. I know I kind of threw it out there earlier in the show as a side note, but... Yeah, wow. And he said that he has no intention. This is his director's cut. There's not going to be another version of it, but he kept talking about deleted scenes for the DVD and the Blu-ray. So cool. Unlike Rogue One, it looks like the intention is we're going to get a lot of deleted scenes, and it looks like there's at least a half hour of them.
Cool.
Yeah.
Good times. Let's hope. Keep our fingers crossed, because we haven't gotten much of the backstory stuff of these new movies yet, but...
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Oh, well. Okay. Well, I think that brings to the end of this episode. So if anybody has any feedback to provide us, thoughts on the show, thoughts on things we discussed, please do so. You can send us an email by getting that to echobase@randomchatter.com.
And you can find us online at facebook.com/randomchatternetwork. And on Twitter, at Random Chatter is the account for the entire network. And this particular show is at Echobase Podcast. You can find me on Twitter at Eric Blythe. That's E-R-I-K-B-L-Y-T-H-E. Lou, where can we find you?
Just my name, Lou Secchi, L-O-U-S-E-C-K-I.
And Tim?
At Qui-Gon Tim. That's Tim with two M's.
All right. And you can find all of our shows over at randomchatter.com.
Please make sure to spread the word and support us. We definitely appreciate any kind of support that you have. You have friends, family, total strangers, coworkers. Folks who you are interacting with, people you see who are wearing a, you know, Star Wars shirt or something like that. Pretty soon you're going to be seeing a whole lot of people wearing Star Wars shirts in one place when you go to see a certain movie that's coming up. So while you're standing there waiting in line for obscene amounts of time, strike up some conversations, talk to people, see what kinds of things in Star Wars they're interested in, and ask them if they're listening to podcasts. And exchange some ideas. They might have some suggestions for you. And we certainly appreciate if you suggest to them that they give a listen to the Echo Base podcast. We definitely appreciate it. We love growing our base of listeners. Gives us some great interactions, be it through Slack or through some other means. And it just makes it a good time, because otherwise it's the three of us just kind of talking to each other. And, you know, that's okay for a little while. But then, you know, I get tired of hearing myself. So, we also appreciate that you leave us some reviews on iTunes, Stitcher, wherever it is that you might be listening to your podcasts and getting them from. Click on all the stars, write in some cool stuff, throw in some meaningful prose, and, you know, you don't have to be writing a novel. Mike, we're looking at you. But write in something that's going to intrigue people and convince them that this is the podcast that they want to be listening to. We definitely appreciate if you check out patreon.com/randomchatter. That is the way that you can financially contribute to the entire Random Chatter network. So that's the Random Chatter show, that's the Echo Base podcast, that's Movie Rampage, that's Eric, throw me some names of new shows.
Well, we have our new microcast called Short Circuits. We have a new Star Wars microcast called, well, we haven't announced the name yet, so we'll hold that on. Later this week, we'll be premiering that. We've got Getting Sidetracked. It's going to be starting up soon. That's our full-length discussion show.
Mm-hmm.
And I was completely not paying attention to the rest of what you said. Did you mention Movie Rampage?
I did.
Excellent, because you and Lizzie go off on Justice League. And
wrong.
Coming soon to earphones near you.
Yeah, yeah.
Eric, you and I can record a rebuttal, I think.
Oh, yes. Yes. I think so, we can keep it to under 4 hours too.
That's right. Patreon, our Patreon site, any contributions kind of go to the entire network and help support everything that we're doing here. We have data storage fees and website fees and that kind of stuff. We just renewed our website within the last month here. And, you know, that costs money to do that. But also keep in mind, it's not just, hey, you throwing some money at us so we can keep on talking. You throw money at us, not only do we keep on talking, but we also give some things back to you. Minimum donation level is $1 a month. And for that $1 a month, you get what's really, quite honestly, the coolest perk. Which is access to our Slack community. And our Slack community has a bunch of different channels in it to cater to whatever interests you might have. You can talk to hosts and other staff and fellow supporters about things like Star Wars, or specifically this show, or any of our other shows, or just general topics like movies or television or pets or family or food or any of that cool stuff. It is a lot of fun. We obviously reference our Slack channel in almost every single show that we do. And that's because we spend so much time there and we have great interactions with a lot of our listeners there. So we definitely appreciate the support you can throw at us. And you can go up higher in support levels, $5 a month, $10 a month, whatever it is that you can afford. And obviously, we greatly appreciate it. And you get some different perks. So along with getting access to our Slack community, you can get things like early releases on shows or premium content that does not get put out there in the podcast waves. This gets distributed to you directly through Patreon, and no one else has it. And it's fun stuff, and it's usually unedited. So if it has to do with me, you might hear a you know, foul word here or there. And, you know, so sometimes it's stuff we re-record before a show or after a show. Maybe it involves some alcohol. You never know. It's a good time. And that alone, folks, is worth the price of admission, I'm telling you. So patreon.com/randomchatter. Our shows across the network are sponsored by you. And that is really, seriously, very, very meaningful. And we appreciate it, and we thank you for it.
So the music that you hear in this show is The Imperial March by Cell Dweller and The Force Theme by Scandroid.
True. That is a fact.
It is a fact.
Thank you, Tim.
That's
okay,
why
that
here.
Does bring us to the end of the episode. So we will close the blast doors and come back at you in about a week.
Bye-bye.